Good morning. It's been a great week, hasn't it? Seen God do amazing things, and we've had a blast in the process, and now here we sit together to take on a new topic that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, raising right-side-up kids in an upside-down world. Hope you came prepared to have fun, to grow, to learn, to be changed as we look at this very, very important topic. Now, as parents, we would like to believe that we have the final say, that what we say will actually direct the outcome of our kids' lives. So what we do and what we say, that will so shape and so work that we can guarantee that what we do will make our kids turn out the way they're supposed to turn out. We can create well-adjusted, happy, and confident children. Take the case of Gil Buckman. Coaching his little league team to glory with a son on the team who can't catch.
We're going to need a new second baseman now. Which one of you outfielders wants to try second base? Huh? How about you, Kevin? You want to try second base?
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
Matt, come on, none of that. We're a team. Let's be a team. Now, come on, get out there and hustle. Let's go.
Yeah! Huh? All right! Yeah!
Hey, Kevin, remember, the word is fun. So just go on out there, and what you catch, and what you miss, okay?
Okay, Dan.
Way to go, Kevin!
And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our valedictorian, Kevin Buckman.
Thank you. You know, when I was 9 years old, I had kind of a rough time. A lot of people thought I was pretty mixed up. But there was one person who got me through it. He did everything right. And thanks to him, today, well, I'm the happiest, most confident, and most well-adjusted person in this world. Dad, I love you. You're the greatest.
All right, Anna. We got bases loaded. We're only one run down. Now you can do it. Get up there. Come on now.
Please, God, let him win one game.
No!
You stink, Buckman! He had no business being out there!
Okay, here's the principle. No matter what I say, They will always have the final say. Now, some of us think that's not true. Some of us think that we can control the outcome of our kids. We think that what we bring to the table will absolutely ensure that our kids turn out the way we think they should. That myth has created more problems and pain in parenting than just about any other. You see, first of all, it's not true. God created every person with a free will. And at some point along the way, your kids are going to get to decide what they're going to be and what they're going to do. You can control their behavior when they're little, but you can't control their attitudes. You tell your kid, go clean his room. Does that mean he's going to want to? Does that mean he'll enjoy it? Does that mean he's not thinking to himself, when I grow up, I'm going to have the messiest room in the whole wide world because nobody's going to make me do this, or maybe I'll hire somebody to do it with dad's money. You can't force an individual to be something that they don't want to be. You can't ultimately control where your kids land. And trying to do that, trying to parent the outcome, can create all kinds of problems. Now keep in mind that people can blame their current behavior on all kinds of influences from the past. But that doesn't mean they don't have free choice. You know, the 45-year-old guy who says, well, you know, I'm not into organized religion. I don't go to church because my mother made me go to church when I was a kid. You're 45. You got car keys, don't you? Driver's license? What, do you hear your mother's voice every Sunday morning at 9:30 going, go to church, go to church, go to church? And if that makes a difference, a lot of times people will look back into their past and blame their current decisions on the past, but the past does not ultimately control. So as parents, we ultimately can't force our children to land anywhere. All we can do is launch them. And parenting that focuses on the launch rather than on the landing, now that's healthy parenting. In addition to trying to control the outcome not being true, trying to control the outcome creates neurotic people. I mean, what happens if your kids are doing the things you want them to do? They're doing well, according to you. What do? Well, you take credit for it. Become proud. Hey, look at me. I'm doing everything right. It must be. Look at my kids. They're turning out well. Oh, it's all about me. Or, if your children are not doing well, they're making bad choices, then you feel guilty. Well, I must have really screwed them up because they would be wonderful if it wasn't for me. Both the pride and the guilt create all kinds of weirdness in people. And two kids grow up in the same exact home, and one makes good choices and one makes bad choices every day of the week. That happens over and over and over again. People have the freedom to choose their destiny. So if I'm the kind of person who is trying to control the outcome, it's going to create all kinds of problems within me. I will be looking at the wrong thing as a parent. So as we come to this series, that's the underlying principle that I want us to look at throughout the whole series, is to recognize that I have an incredible ability to influence the direction of my children, to launch them in the right way, but ultimately I can't control the outcome. So it's time to relax. It's time to lighten up. It's time to be open. It's time to listen, because I can learn some things. I can laugh at myself. I can work on some things that can really, really change the outcome, because I've changed me. And ultimately, the outcome of my life is the only thing I have control over anyway. Now, in saying all this, I just want to throw it all open to everybody that's here. If you're here and you say, well, my kids are grown and gone, this is a waste of time for me, let me just tell you, in this world, there are so many upside-down voices about what it means to raise good kids that having sane voices in this world is very important. So hang in there, learn, because there are lots of people that are looking for some kind of sanity when it comes to raising children. If you're here and you say, well, I don't have any kids, you might have some someday, or maybe I am a kid, you're going to be able to help your folks a lot. Because believe me, when they start looking to themselves and working on mom and dad, they're going to need your help. In fact, we recognize that we needed our kids' help, so I challenged all of our elders and all of our staff to take this parent challenge. And what that involved was to ask your kids to give three things that you were doing well and two things, ego problem, two things that you can improve on. And so I sent that out to all of our staff and all of our elders, and they began to talk to their kids and poll their kids and get feedback back and try to find out what are we doing, what can we improve on. My kids took it too, all but Ellen. I must be doing something wrong. We got some great things back. Let me give you a few of the comments back. Here was a negative one from an 8-year-old girl. She said, my parents need to spank my little brother more. Especially for biting. Here's a positive one. One of our staff children said that we love our parents because they take care of us when we get hit by lightning. Now that's some serious parenting. When lightning strikes, they're there every time. Here's a positive one. You take good care of my ears. Now, I don't know, but this child must produce a heavy dose of earwax. You know, mom and dad are working to keep that baby, those babies clean all the time. Here's a negative from a 9-year-old girl. Here's what she says. She says, when we go on dates, don't open the door for me and say, your carriage awaits you. Boy, you talk about messing someone up. Like she was expecting a limo and she got an old carriage. Here's my favorite one. This is the best one out of the group, I thought. The child writes, having a hard time coming up with a second one, second improvement, so maybe go swimming with us more instead of always wearing that green thing. What in the world is the green thing that they're always wearing? Don't you want to see this green thing? I mean, mom, dad, I don't know which one of you it is, but I guess that green thing's enjoyable to wear. It's more fun than swimming. I don't know. On a more serious note, the themes that came through from our kids to us, where they really talked about from both a positive and negative standpoint, the first one was spending time together. That was a high priority to the kids. Some of them put negative comments, need to spend more time together. Some of them put positive comments about how much they appreciated the time. Not surprising, another one was leading by example. Children saying, you know, your example has been a real encouragement to me, or it's been real discouraging watching your behavior. You say you're a Christian, you say you're a leader, and then you behave differently than that. Another one was listening. It was a common theme that came up. Not just listening to hear the status report on how the grades are going or whether I clean my room, but listening to know what's going on in my life. And some of our kids were real excited about the parents that were really listening to find out what the real deal is versus just kind of getting the status report or the rundown. Another one was interested. Several of the kids commented on, mom and dad are really interested in my life. They know what's going on. They pay attention. I feel like they're connected to me. One of the big ones was parental stress. Our kids said, in many cases, you guys are stressed out, and you bring it home. You guys are worried. It's obvious that you get too much pressure in your life, and many talked about overworking, putting too much time into work. You think your kids don't notice these things? They notice. They see when mom and dad are stressed out. Mistakes. A few of them said that they wish their parents would give them more freedom to make mistakes on their own because they would learn from their mistakes. Now keep in mind, this is a range of kids that are from in their 30s all the way down to old enough to talk. And so it's a big range of kids writing about their parents. Last one was vulnerability. A few of the children said, "Mom and Dad, I wish you would have been more real with me when I was growing up. I wish I would have known what you were going through because that would have made a lot of difference in me being able to understand our lives and the dynamics. But, you know, you kind of kept things to yourself and you didn't let me into your world." So these are some things that our children are telling us, and I would challenge you and encourage you to take the parent challenge. Now, your kids may be grown and gone, or they may be, you know, just really small and they want you to spank your little one more, especially when they're biting. But I would encourage you to do that, because one of the things that takes place when you understand that the goal of parenting is not to control the outcome of their lives as much as it is to control what you can control, becoming the person that you need to be, that's what you can control. When you move from the orientation of the outcome to the orientation of the influence, what tends to happen is parenting becomes fun. You become a learner. You're not always worried that if my kid messes up, oh, what's everybody going to think? They're going to think I'm terrible or I'm going to feel rotten. And you begin to invite them to help you in the process. One of the greatest resources that God has placed in your life to help you with your parenting are your children. You don't believe that, do you? You say, "Tim, you don't know my kids." You'd be surprised the insight that your family has into you. And you need that feedback. So during this series, we're going to be looking at a lot of things. We're going to talk about how to raise the next American Idol. We'll be looking at the fear factor, the role of media. We're going to be looking at how to develop relationships versus an experience-based kid. So we're going to be talking about all those kinds of things through this process. The verse I want to point you to this morning is in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we get this parenting verse from Scripture. And the parenting verse says this. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The word exasperate means to create a frustration that bubbles into anger. It's kind of that pot that's simmering on the stove, and it's just boiling and boiling and boiling. There's activity, there's frustration, there's anger there. And all it takes is just pushing the button, raising the temperature just a little bit in any given situation, and it can just overflow. And there are a lot of children that grow up in homes that the way they're being treated by mom and dad begins to create within them this deep-seated frustration and anger. And a lot of that is born out of this mentality that I can control my children and make sure that the outcome of their life is what I've decided and what I want for them. In fact, because of this, there are a number of parenting styles that are really aimed at that kind of control. I want to fly through these pretty quickly. Five different parenting styles that are kind of aimed at this kind of control. The first parenting style, you find these on your outline, the first parenting style is the helicopter parent. The helicopter parent hovers over the child and really becomes so involved in the child's life that wherever the child is or whatever the child is doing, there's a parental presence there all the time. It's that hovering. That person tends to make excuses for the child. If something's going wrong, they make excuses. They justify the child's behavior. They're very involved, and they want to protect the child from ever having negative feelings. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to always be making sure that the child never experiences anything that will be distasteful to the child. In the helicopter parent, the child becomes exasperated or frustrated because they have no responsibility. no responsibility for their life. They can't decide. They can't be wrong. They can't get hurt. They can't deal with anything because they're never responsible. And over time, it begins to feel like mom and dad are living my life. And it's no longer my life. It's not my life. Mom and dad are living it. Second kind of parent that controls is the drill sergeant parent. The drill sergeant parent. The drill sergeant parent is characterized by commands and directives. This is what you will do. This is where you won't do. It's very rules-based. It's very punishment-oriented. There are standards. And this parent is constantly placing expectations on the child. Here's what you will accomplish. Here's what you won't accomplish. Here's where you will go. Here's where you won't go. There's frequently a lot of shame in this kind of parenting. Just a lot of pressure, a lot of shame, a lot of performance in the drill sergeant parent. The third parenting style aimed at control is the 911 parent. It's the 911 parent. This is the parent that constantly worries, constantly rescues. Constantly worries and constantly rescues. The helicopter parent tends to always be involved. The 911 parent is not necessarily always present, but always looking for the things that could be dangerous for the child. And so the 911 parent is characterized by the one who fights the battles for the child, oftentimes through manipulation. If something goes wrong at school, the 911 parent's going to be down there to make sure that my child is getting the right thing. I'm going to make sure that my child is always cared for and always protected from any harm or danger that might come their way. The fourth type of parenting style that's aimed at control, we'll call the Barney parent. You know Barney. I love you. You love me. The Barney parent is the one that believes the world is soft, it's wonderful, and it's purple. And the Barney parent is constantly trying to ensure that the child is entertained and happy. Whatever it takes to make sure my kid's having fun, having the best experiences, having the biggest highs, having the biggest joys, whatever it takes so that my child feels like I am the best entertaining parent in the world. Because the last thing I would ever want would be for my child to be bored or sad and think that we're not having a party here. The problem in the Barney parent is the lack of limits. And every person at some point in time wants to know the boundaries. They want to know the boundaries. Oh, I didn't mention with the 911 parents, no adventure, lack of adventure. Never get to adventure nothing's ever risky. And the Barney parent is no limits. The final parenting style aimed at control is the AWOL parent, absent without leave. It's the parent that just says, you know, I can't keep up with my kid's life. They need to raise themselves. They'll learn it on their own anyway. I can't really teach them much. And so there's a lack of companionship, no companionship. Now, as we've talked about these styles, you may have seen a little bit of yourself in each of these. The goal of each of these is to ensure that you and your involvement is such that the child becomes what you want that child to become. Now, what I want to do is take a little quiz. I'm going to read off three situations and the way each of these styles would respond. And you see if you can figure out which one goes with which. And along the way, you may actually even see yourself a little bit here. Here's the first scenario. Your third grader got in trouble at school for hitting another child. You would, first style, inform the teacher that your child is very creative and needs the freedom to express himself. What do you think? Kind of sounds like Barney, doesn't it? Next parenting style, not know about the incident because mom handles the discipline issues with the kids. It's probably AWOL, right? Okay, the third one is sue the school for mental pain and anguish. That'd be your 911 parent. Number four, fourth parenting style, would be to yell at your child in front of his classmates and make him drop and give you 20. Any drill sergeants in the room? Probably the drill sergeant. The fifth one is start sitting in the classroom to make sure your child is being treated fairly. Helicopter parents are hovering in to make sure that everything is going the way my child is. I mean, I'm sure that the other kids started it. My child would never hit anybody unless they were provoked. I've got to get in there. Next scenario. You discover your teenager has been visiting an inappropriate website. You would, first parenting style, tell them they can't be trusted and install better internet filtering software. Probably be your 911 parent. Ground the child for 6 months, coupled with several days of the silent treatment. Basic drill sergeant. Start attending student ministry events to see if the youth pastor is teaching enough on the dangers of the internet. What parenting style? That'd be your basic helicopter parent. Resign yourself to the fact that kids are curious and hope they grow out of it. Barney. You're tied up with ministry commitments and you don't really know what your kids are doing on the computer anyway. That's be your AWOL. Okay, last one. You just dropped your child off at the dormitory for their freshman year at college. You call them on their cell phone before you drive out of the parking lot. That's your helicopter parent. Longest umbilical cord in the world is the cell phone. You know, kids do not ever have to make a decision anymore because mom and dad are just 7 digits away. Wherever they are in the world, they can always get someone to tell them what to do next. And parents love the attention, kids. Parents love that kind of attention. You start giving it to them, they're like addicts. They'll feed on that. They'll expect that you're going to call them every day, 3 or 4 times a day, when you're grown, when you have kids of your own. They love that. Okay, you drop your kid off at the dormitory. Second approach is you go immediately to the administration building to switch their roommate because you do not approve of their roommate. That's your 911 parent. Okay, the third response would be to have a beer with them to celebrate the start of college and teach them how to drink responsibly. Or maybe a round of beers. I love you. You love me. Next response. My kids started college? That's your AWOL parent. I don't know about you guys, we have 4 kids, so I'm struggling with this one all the time. I've got kids where? What did they do now? Last one, you remind them to email you with their daily activities, broken down hour by hour, to ensure that they are not wasting the financial investment that you are making in them. That's your drill sergeant. See, each of these responses comes from a parenting approach that says, I've got to control the outcome of their decisions. A much better response is the response aimed at shaping their character. Great decisions flow from great character. And if I spend my life trying to control what my kids decide to do, whether it's through manipulation, whether it's through rules, whether it's through arguing, whether it's through going there and controlling the situation, hovering in, whether it's through all kinds of different methods, if I'm out there trying to control all of that, rather than building something of character into them so that when they go out there, they know what to decide and how to decide, and they've had enough trial and error and personal experience, they've learned from pain, they've learned from failure, they've learned from disappointment, they've had their heart broken a few times, they've been bored. Through that, they develop what they need to make their own decisions, because ultimately they have the final say anyway. So what about parenting aimed at shaping character? Let me give you three principles of parenting aimed at shaping character. parenting aimed at shaping character. The first one is the training parent. The first one is the training parent. This is the parent that understands the need for a child to be launched into the world as competent. As competent. A child that can say, I know how to do life because I learned it from my folks. I know how to do life because I learned it from my mom and dad. Or if you're a single parent, mom, dad, I've learned it from them. They trained me in how to do life. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train a child in the way he should go. In other words, you teach, this is how life ought to be lived. This is the way you go. This is how you do life. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. In other words, it's the trajectory that you launch a child on. That's the best you can do to ensure their future. That's the best you can do. And so what do you bring to the table? You need, as a parent, to really ask yourself the question, what are the issues of life that I want to ensure that my child learns, that my child understands, that I get teaching to them? It's not simply how to hit a baseball. It's not simply how to pass an AP exam or how to apply for a job. It's much bigger than that. What are the issues of life that your kids need to learn from you? And most of our kids that are teenagers can give all the rules about what time the curfew is, who I can be with, when I can be, all of the rules. That, by the way, mom and dad, when they leave the home at 18, if they leave the home at 18, when they leave the home at 18, all those rules go out the window. They learn the rules. How far is too far? How much physical contact? They got all the rules down on that. You know when they leave home? There's no enforcers of those rules. How about training a child to understand what it means to love someone so deep that you're willing to sacrifice your passions or your desires for their good? Marriages don't break up over curfew issues. Marriages break up over people who don't understand the sacrifice that's involved in I love you. That's training your kids for life, teaching them what they need to know about what's real and true and important in life. We're not simply trying to get them through the teenage years. We're trying to help them understand how to live so that they can say, you know what? When it comes to being on my own, I know how to do this. Learn it from mom and dad. When it comes to dating relationship, I know how to do this. I watched my mom and dad. They taught me how to do this. When it comes to managing money, I know how to do that. I watched them. They showed me. I know how to do this. When it comes to picking friends, I know how to do this. I learned this. That's the training parent. Second is the inspiring parent. It's the inspiring parent. It's the parent that instills confidence in a child. And that confidence is based on their relationship with God. Based on their relationship with God. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this, Paul's writing, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying, I know that when God gets a hold of your life and starts his work in you, I have confidence that he's going to take you there. Which means that when you're talking to your children, you remind them that they really can do this life. You point out to them how well they're doing, even if it's only in a few areas, in your opinion. And you give them confidence that they can walk out into this life knowing that with God's help, I can do this thing called life. As opposed to feeling like, you know, if I don't constantly point out my kids' flaws, if I don't constantly tell them how much they're failing, maybe they won't need me. Maybe they won't listen to me. Hey, you talk negative to your kids all the time, they've already stopped listening to you. They've already stopped listening to you. You've got to instill in them a confidence that you believe so much in God that He can get them where they need to go. That's the parent that inspires their child. Third, aimed at shaping character is the dependent parent. It's the dependent parent. The dependent parent recognizes that they don't have it all together, and they don't tell their kids they got it all together. You know, some of your children believe that you believe. That's an important distinction. Some of your kids believe that you've got it all together. Now, they know you don't, but they believe that you believe that. And they believe that you have gotten it all together on your own. In other words, they don't recognize that you know that if it wasn't for God's help, you'd be a bigger mess than you really are. You'd be a bigger mess than you really are. And so the dependent parent has the freedom to be vulnerable and honest, can talk about their struggles and their weaknesses, can share with their kids their need for help, can share with their kids that they've made commitments to God because without God's help, I don't know that I would call myself mature. I'd call myself a problem. With God's help, I can have confidence that I can do all things. That's why Solomon reminds us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's not about what you think, it's about what He thinks. So trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You don't set the course of your life. You put your trust in Him, and He sets the course of your life. You see, if your kids think that when they turn 18 and become an adult, magically they have the maturity that on their own, without any outside influence, they can do this thing called life, they've failed to understand their need for God. They failed to understand their need for God. They will not make commitments to walk with God because why do they need Him? Hey, my parents were only going to church to take me there to keep me out of trouble because they think they've got it all together. The dependent parent recognizes, is constantly growing and seeking help. It's not the parent that's constantly telling you, well, here's how you do it. I got it figured out. It's the parent who says, man, I don't have it figured out, but I'm learning with God's help. It's that dependent parent. You see, we all need Jesus Christ. We all need His help. None of us are going to get there without Him. And whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, you need Jesus Christ. We need Him in our lives. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, 4, don't exasperate your kids. Control, manipulation, dominate their life. But bring them up in the nurture, the training, and the instruction of the Lord. Now, here's the real key. Controlling the outcome puts your child on a performance basis. If you don't turn out like this, there's a question mark as whether I approve of you. When you focus on what you need to be as a parent, it takes the child off of the performance basis, and they partner with you as they watch you grow and develop and mature and share that with them as you lead them along the path. Let me close with a song about baseball. We started with baseball, let's end with baseball. Bob Bennett wrote a song about his growing up and about his dad. It's called A Song About Baseball. He says, Saturdays on the baseball field and me, I'm afraid of the ball. Just another kid on camera day, and the Angels still played in L.A. I was smiling and living black and white. But none of it mattered after the game, when my father would find me and call out my name. A soft drink, a snow cone, a candy bar, a limousine ride in the family car. He loved me no matter how I played. He loved me no matter how I played. Baseball caps and bubble gum, I think there's a hole in my glove. 3-2, life and death. I was swinging with eyes closed, holding my breath. I was dying on my way to the bench. But none of it mattered after the game, when my father would find me and call out my name. Dreaming of glory the next time out, my father taught me what love's about. He loved me no matter how I played. He loved me no matter how I played. That's what your kids need. That's what my kids need. They're going to make up their mind. And we have the opportunity to guide them as we grow in Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you're the God of grace, that you love us no matter how we play in this life, and boy, we play poorly a lot. And Father, you've asked us to take these precious lives, and you've granted them to us. May we be becoming those who influence, encourage, train, show dependency to these precious lives so that we may launch them to reach the next generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we continue to consider